Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN, hour number two. Matt Brown, 1 hour in the books. Get ready for this White Sox and Tigers game to get going. So if you want to get if you want to get down there on that one, the line has kind of run a little bit, unfortunately, in favor of the Tigers where we had them. So don't know if it's a bet still, but something that, I like a lot whenever it comes to what Troy Melton brings to the table. I think Kay is going to get lit up by these right-handers over there in this Detroit lineup. And Detroit Tigers team still within reach, right? I mean, this is still fighting for this division because this division just doesn't want to do anything. So we're out to like minus 145 now, minus 150. So don't know if it's a bet really here in this one. If you're a money line parlay guy, maybe you want to, you know, do something like that, but I can't really recommend it outside of that. The three preseason games are going to be kicking off here momentarily that are in the 1 Eastern 10 Pacific window. They're going to kick at Buffalo -2.5, 38.5, the prevailing total. We're going to kick at 1.5 in favor of the Vikings, 41.5, the prevailing total there in that one. And we're going to kick with 2.5 in favor of the Browns, 39.5, the prevailing total there in that one. Of course, we'll keep you updated as those get going, and anything that happens that might be of note, we will certainly let you guys know there in that one. But now joining us here on the guest line, Jeremy Kahn. He is over there talking Baltimore Ravens at 105.7, the Big Bad Morning Show in Baltimore. Jeremy, how you doing, man?
Good, man. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate you hopping on with us here, as this is a very interesting, I guess, season as we head in for the Ravens, because you look, and it's typically when we start trying to dissect these teams, and it's like, oh, man, they're change at quarterback or whatever and all that. But, you know, you've got Lamar, and you know what Lamar brings to the table. Instead, it's kind of the coaching staff that gets the overhaul here, and people start to wonder, how is that going to play out for this team? How's that been going? Just what have you heard early on here from kind of how Lamar is interacting with the new guys around?
I mean, I think he's loving it so far. Mm-hmm. It's kind of what it sounds like, because it's been all positive from camp, and you're hearing lots of great things about Jacoby Lane there. So I think Lamar is finally happy. And the one thing that he has that not a lot of guys do in the league is he holds all the cards, because he can't be franchised. He's going to wait it out and get his extension after the next big guy signs and get a little bit more money. That's what we believe. But this year coming up, I think he kind of had an idea of what the coaching staff was going to be. And I think he's really excited to work with Declan Doyle.
We look at that and the skill position players around him, I guess, is one of the big questions that a lot of people have coming in. It's like you look and you see Bateman and Flowers and Lane, but I guess people wonder, is that enough, right? Like, none of those stand out as kind of your alpha one receivers. Is it kind of more of just a sum equals the greater good here for this team? Like, what do you think from a skill position standpoint and who he's going to be throwing the ball to?
Yeah, we've heard the tight ends haven't looked very good, and that's been a disappointment so far in training camp, but they have time to change some things up. You got two rookies and Mark Andrews. But as far as the wide receivers go, I know everybody just saw Zay Flowers get paid and go, what? He got how much money? I think he's worth it. I mean, he's the next guy up. Is he better than Justin Jefferson and Jamar Chase? No. But I do think you're going to see his offensive numbers get put up. I think they're going to use him similarly to how Amon-Ra St. Brown is used in Detroit. So more red zone targets, things like that. I don't know if, you know, if they've got the gold jacket ready for Jacoby Lane or not, but the way it's looked in preseason and training camp, and people will get to see once the games get started. I mean, he's just going up and catching the ball and coming down against even the Ravens' best cornerbacks. I think there are some questions about Bateman and the rest of the group. They had high hopes for Tez Walker coming in. And of course they drafted Elijah Surratt. So I think you're right about the sum being greater than the parts, but I do think Zay Flowers is finally going to get on people's, top 10 list when we talk about wide receivers.
So there's this thing called father time, and apparently, like, Derrick Henry is just immune to the whole thing of father time. I have been for the last 2 years saying, you know, I get it. He's superhuman. Look at the guy. He looks like he's chiseled out of marble, but we've seen this before, you know, I go on and on. I bring up Adrian Peterson, right? Where again, another guy that just physically looked imposing no matter what. And then we saw the steep decline. We've not seen that from Derrick Henry. Do you think just this is another season of full workload for Derrick Henry and full speed ahead, and it's just ride it till the wheels fall off?
Yeah, after seeing him up close and personal, I'm not willing to bet against him. I mean, it's incredible, the workouts, the different things he does to stay in shape. And I think if you use him the right way, you can get a lot of miles out of him. And the way he takes care of himself, we all know it. At some point, you're going to hit the wall, and guys that are getting close to your shoestrings are now grabbing you by the ankles, and then eventually you're not going by anybody. The good news for Derrick Henry is that he can still run over people. So I think there's that aspect. But I think the Ravens like their running back group with Justice Hill behind him, and even drafting Adam Randall out of Clemson. He is a very, very large human being, but people look smaller standing next to Derrick Henry.
Talking to Jeremy Kahn, Baltimore Ravens talk here going on with us, Big Bad Morning Show 105.7 there in Baltimore. The center position, I imagine, has been a hot topic there amongst everything. Whenever you lose a guy like Linderbaum, it's obviously a pretty big deal. Is that a concern right now, or do they think they have this solved?
I think it's concern number one. I mean, they pick up Ethan Posick from the Cleveland Browns after he was released, but he's coming back from an injury. He is out of practice and working out and working with the guys. You just don't have anyone that you know is going to be reliable. It doesn't mean that the starting center is not on this team and that guy's not going to go out and be fine this year. I just don't know who to bet on right now. And I think this is one of those true battles you're going to see in preseason, whereas the Ravens are going to want to sit a lot of their guys and they know who's going to be making the roster in certain areas. I think the center position is the biggest concern that this team has right now, outside of, you know, obviously health and injuries and things like that.
So Baltimore currently sitting somewhere 10.5, 11.5, depending like that on the win total for the season. You got a lot of people who might be a little bit higher on Joe Burrow and company. Obviously, that defense is still to be determined there for them. I don't think anyone really cares about what's going on with Cleveland and Pittsburgh. I think it's a wait to be seen. What do you think here about a win total in that 10.5, 11.5 range?
Look, I like the over here, and I'm not trying to sound like a homer. Yeah. I was one of the few people initially was screaming about coaching changes and wanting to see something fresh and not the same stale message over and over again, not the same excuses after losses. And I think you have two forward-thinking coaches when you talk about a guy like Jesse Minter and, of course, what Declan Doyle brings. Now, I wouldn't be shocked if the offense started off a little slow because there's a lot of moving parts to this. But once they pick it up, i.e. what you saw with Caleb Williams in Chicago initially, Lamar's – I know all the talk in the offseason has been about where he ranks amongst quarterbacks, man. I've never seen anything like this. And I'm a Peyton Manning truther. And watching Lamar play sometimes, you're like, God, how the hell did he get out of that? So as long as he stays healthy, and I know we can't bet that way, I think they're going to smash that number. I think they're clearly the best team in this division, and they're not concerned with Cincinnati.
And we talked about that receiving core. You're looking at some numbers here maybe for Zay Flowers.
Yeah, look, I think he's going to be used more and more. There were a lot of gadget plays and things they'd like to do with him. I'm not saying those are all going to go away, but this guy can run every route. He can. I know they look at him in the smaller size, but once he gets in the open space, he is just death to try to tackle. And I think, you know, when you look at an offense, it's going to set guys up and put them in position to succeed. I think Zay's going to be the biggest benefactor of this new offense and how things are going. And when you have a running game like the Ravens do, you're going to see a lot of one-on-one matchups, and he's going to be a tough guy to hold.
If there was, we just talked about the center position on the defensive side of the ball. Is there a concern about the corner position? I understand we kind of saw downhill from Humphrey and whatever. Is that where maybe the concern is on that side?
Yeah, I mean, Nate Wiggins got hurt last week, and there were some serious concerns. He got carted off the field, but I was at training camp the other day, and Jesse Minter basically said that he's going to be back at practice next week along with Marlon Humphrey. But, yeah, I think anytime you're looking at this cornerback group, they got a lot of young guys that they like. We just got to see if they can play at this level consistently. They love their secondary as far as the safety goes, and you'll probably see three of those guys on the field. I'm not going to say at all times, but a lot of the time. And I think you would also say if you looked at the weak side linebacker, they just got one of their players off the PUP list and hoping that Teddy Buchanan comes back and is a big part of that. But I think anytime you're looking at cornerbacks, that's going to be the concern. And I think the thing that Ravens fans are really excited about is Jesse Minter and Anthony Weaver working with this pass rush. You know, I know I know nobody wants to hear about the Max Crosby, Trey Hendrickson stuff, right? Don't shoot me. I'm just the messenger here. But I think things worked out pretty good on the Ravens side of how, you know, getting a Trey Hendrickson and having a Jesse Minter who took a defensive end that the Ravens couldn't get sacks for. He goes out, he gets 10 out with the Chargers, and he gets $100 million in the offseason. I'm talking about Adafi Owe. So I think he's got a lot to work with here. And if the pass rush is good, I don't think the cornerbacks are going to be a big concern.
All right, Jeremy, we've got about a minute and a half left here in this one. We do have preseason game number one going up against Philadelphia today. What do you think we see from Baltimore? Is this like very bland, very vanilla? What is kind of your thoughts here?
Yeah, there's no salt on this thing. It's, what is it, Kirk Cousins grill? Is that what everybody's talking about? Yeah, there's no – it's going to be very basic. I do think their rookie class is going to be intriguing. There's a lot of eyes here on Tyler Loop, the kicker. He's been making everything in training camp, and you'll continue to watch him. But his last play is the missed field goal that made them miss the playoffs. So you always wonder about his mind. But I just think you're going to see a lot of vanilla on both sides. You're not going to see any of the big name guys for the Ravens at all. Mm-hmm. I don't think you see Lamar a bit in the preseason.
He is Jeremy Kahn, Big Bad Morning Show there on 105.7 in Baltimore at J Kahn Sports over on the Twitter machine as well. Do appreciate the time a ton, and good luck. Enjoy the game today.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yes, this is one of those teams where I'm a little bit, a little bit kind of a Bengals homer, I'll admit. The Joe Burrow thing, the Jamar Chase thing, it dies hard. But I do look, and top to bottom, it's just hard to say that the Ravens aren't the better team top to bottom, specifically because you have to factor in the defense. And on the defensive side of the ball, they are definitely better than what Cincinnati brings to the table. I do think that the offensive side of the ball does still favor Cincinnati. And I think that the quarterback position, as good as Lamar has been, still favors Joe Burrow, because you don't have to have the leg aspect in order to make Joe Burrow great. Joe Burrow can sit there in the pocket all day long and it'd be perfectly fine. But I think that this is still the Ravens division to lose. We'll get into that a little bit later as well. There are exact finishing markets that you can bet, so something that we'll talk about. But when we come back, we still have the Rams and the Chiefs, the Jags and the Saints to kick off. What will we see in those games?
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
Welcome back to Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Let the overreactions begin. We have Josh Allen out on the field here, 5 minutes into the first quarter, and he just connects with DJ Moore, 32 yards, I guess, officially here. He has one to Shakir as well for 22 yards. This wide receiver core obviously fixed now for Buffalo as we're early on in here. But Josh Allen, 2 of 3, 53 yards, including a 32-yarder to DJ Moore and a 21-yarder to Khalil Shakir. I believe they had to settle for a field goal there on that opening drive. As we look down here in this Bears and Browns game, real quick, we have Bajent 1 of 2 for 3 yards on his first drive there in that one. Deshaun Watson is 2 of 2 for 20 yards. They have a 3rd and 6 right now. Pretty close to midfield for this Brown squad, and it is actually complete there, so they're going to convert the first down against this Bears team. So Deshaun Watson, early on, 3 of 3 for 35 yards. Quinshon Judkins, 3 for 8. Denzel Boston has a 15-yard catch. Jerry Jeudy has a 14-yard catch. So this Browns team said they were going to play their starters. They're playing their starters. Deshaun Watson out there early on, 100% of his completions there. Kyler Murray, 2 of 3 for 10 yards. Over for Minnesota. They put a field goal on the board. The Giants have yet to have the football, so we'll see how that all goes. Aaron Jones, 3 for 27. Jordan Addison, 1 for 8 there. So he has caught a ball officially from Kyler Murray, though it is here in the preseason. Another little nugget coming out here. Cardinals rookie running back Jeremiah Love's going to miss next week's game. He's got a sore ankle after the Raiders game this past week. So keep an eye there on that one, right? So Jeremiah Love is an ankle injury there for the Cardinals. If you guys remember, I wrote a thing in the NFL preview guide, in our preview betting guide, about Jeremiah Love and just the fact that running back room, while I think he is awesome, I do think that he's a great player and is going to be awesome in this league. That running back room is very full. And then also, if you're the Cardinals, you just spent an incredibly high pick in the first round on a running back on a team that's absolutely dead on arrival for this season. So I do wonder if they manage his workload a little bit. I bet some unders on him very sheepishly, but it's a deal where I kind of look around and on top of the crowded running back room, I just wonder, as an organization, do you not look at this and say, okay, we are certainly at least 1 year away from possibly competing. We might be 2 years away from competing. Are we really going to put a ton of miles on this guy for absolutely no reason? So again, he's going to play. He's going to play a lot. I just wonder if we're talking about more of a 60% workload than kind of the bell cow 80 to 85% workload that we see with some of these other guys. And I think that that's a very real scenario given what they have on the roster currently. We'll see in a couple of weeks, do they shed some of these dudes? And if that's the case, then maybe that will clear up what we're going to get out of him. But did play some unders on him. I was trying to read between the lines, and I do think that he might not play quite as much as everybody thinks that he's going to. We got the Rams and the Chiefs that are going to be going at it here today. And as we look over here at the latest line, this is currently 2.5 in favor of Kansas City, 35.5 to 36, kind of the prevailing total out there in this one. And so when you take a look at this has kind of been Sean McVay's deal since he's been there in Los Angeles. And so he's not going to rush the starters out there. We're trying to figure out if Aaron Donald is going to come back or not. By the way, if you just look at the video of him, he just looks like Aaron Donald of old. I can't even imagine a defensive line that's going to have him and Myles Garrett on it at the same time. I think he's coming back for sure. But here's where Sean McVay kind of talks about those backup quarterbacks that we're going to see today.
He will. Yep, he will play. He will.
What are you hoping to see?
I think really just, you know, good command by both those guys, consistently making good decisions, playing within the timing and rhythm of, you know, whatever that play is that Nate decides to call, and want to see us get in and out of the huddle. You know, good communication. There'll be a lot of different guys that'll be kind of rotating in, but, you know, I want Stetson to be able to do what he's done, and I want Ty to be able to do what he's done as well, and it'll be fun to watch both those guys play.
If you're listening on the radio side of things, you're not actually watching the video. You knew anyway, just hearing him talk and the way he was delivering that he was wearing sunglasses. I know for a fact that you did. Like, you knew for sure, and he was. In fact, you're driving along in your car and you're going, I bet he was giving that interview with sunglasses on. He was. In fact, he had his little aviators on. They're giving that one. So we're going to get Stetson Bennett here for the Rams. We're also going to see some Ty Simpson as well. I know people didn't love the Ty Simpson pick, me included, because if Stafford was coming back, I was kind of like, shouldn't we be playing for today? This is kind of what the Rams do, right? They play for today. That's kind of always been this, they go for it, right? Like, they see the window, they go for it. And instead they did this whole like play for the future thing, which is really odd from an organizational standpoint, but neither here nor there. We're going to see what he can do in an NFL uniform as he is going to get action today here going up against Kansas City. And so I look at this and as I said, right, I am one of those that once we get to that like field goal plus, I always want to play the dog. We're not quite there yet, still sitting at 2.5. So can't really have that one fall into that category quite yet. So I'm going to sit back, watch this. We still have a while until this one kicks. So maybe we get to a field goal. If that's the case, I'll probably just play the Rams, even though I have absolutely no idea what Ty Simpson's going to look like in an NFL uniform. But we get to these games where you're going to get extended looks from some of these dudes. And I think, you know, you get the offensive coordinators to call them, air quote, the good plays a couple of different times, right? I mean, like, you don't want them out there just, you don't really get any sort of evaluation, right? Whenever you're just calling the most bland, easy routes, easy plays that there possibly is. Like, I think with some of these guys that they're really trying to figure out, I think they think that they know that Stetson Bennett is going to be, you know, the backup here, but maybe not. And so maybe it is. Maybe they are honestly considering Ty Simpson to be the backup. So with that the case, I do believe that they'll get some good plays. You know, not all just the vanilla bad plays here in this one. So that is something that we'll keep an eye on. With that, Jacksonville and New Orleans is currently sitting, again, what would you expect? 2.5, of course, in favor of the Saints. This one way low, 34.5 out there in this one. So you take a look and what these teams are going to do. It's not expected to see really much of anything from either one of these teams. I agree with this one being the lowest total on the board as well, because if there is a game that might be the most unwatchable of the day, this one probably could be it. I think we're going to see pretty much all backups for Jacksonville and the Saints as well. So if you wanted to skip one of the games today and just catch whatever you want to catch on the highlight show, this is probably the one to definitely to skip. I'm no position on this. Even if this does kind of get to that threshold that I'm talking about, the field goal plus the 3.5s, if you will. No interest, just because I have no idea what we're going to get out of either one of these teams. And so with that case, with that being the case, I usually steer clear by a big margin with games like that. If we are kind of looking, though, at what we're looking for these teams' outlook on the season, if you've been following the show, you know I've got a Jags ticket in my account already. I like them in this division. I think they are a very complete team, and I think that there is some upside still and some meat left on the bone. This is kind of one of those teams, too, under the radar, because I think of the way that things played out last season with Brian Thomas Jr., that you don't really realize that this is one of the, if not the best wide receiver cores in all of the NFL. Brian Thomas Jr. is probably not as good as he was early on in his career, but certainly he's not as bad as he was last season. You're going to get Travis Hunter back, who's going to run, I imagine, the majority of the route. I know he keeps saying he wants to play 100% of the snaps. Like, I think as an organization, what are you doing, right? I mean, like, I think he's going to run 30% of the routes or something like that. I think he should be a full-time corner and a part-time gadget receiver, stuff like that. But who knows? We'll see what they end up doing with him there in that one. But we know Parker Washington is more than capable of stepping up and playing well for this team. And they have Jacoby Myers as well. Did you forget that? I mean, like, all of there's some real talent here for Trevor Lawrence, who, as many strays as he catches for not coming out and being the next John Elway, like everybody was saying whenever he was coming out of college, if you believe in PFF's grading system, and I know there's a lot of people who want to point out some flaws and stuff like that, but they are watching every single play of every single game and trying to give you an idea of how these quarterbacks are playing outside of just the box score. Seventh out of 38 qualifying quarterbacks last year for Trevor Lawrence. Again, kind of under the radar, kind of something that we didn't really talk about much, was that he played really well for them. You've got a solid left side of the offensive line, which obviously the most important side. Right side, to be determined. Maybe that could end up being a factor here in this. Certainly the ferocious defense for Houston could be a problem twice a year for them. But you look on the defensive side of the ball. Again, I would play Travis Hunter majority on the defensive side of the ball. Getting a shutdown corner in the NFL is worth a lot, right? His production on the offensive side can be equaled by Parker Washington. Like, that's the thing. Like, his offensive production can be matched. What he does on the defensive side cannot, which is why, again, I think as an organization, you cooler heads prevail and you try to get that done with that. But for me, I like what they have on the defensive side as well. I like this team a decent amount, and I think this is the team to bet in this division, certainly given what we get from a pricing standpoint. If you guys are coming to Vegas, you want to play in the big contest, I'm watching them sign up people out here right now. Like we said, we're already up to 20. Over in Grandissimo, you got 100K. Winner Circle Proxy will sign you up. Doesn't matter if you want to come out here for the million, if you want to come out here for Survivor, or if you got 100K and you want to do the Grandissimo, they'll help you out there as well. WinnerCircleProxy.com. One trip to Vegas. You can play all season long. You just go sign up, and then they take care of the picks for you. So get on out here to Vegas. Set up your appointment at WinnerCircleProxy.com.
Welcome back to Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Still good at football. Josh Allen, 6 of 8 for 111 yards, one touchdown. James Cook, 5 for 21 on the ground. DJ Moore, 3 for 61 there. You don't think that he's trying to show off his new toy or anything. 3 on 4 targets. Khalil Shakir gets another one, so he's 2 for 41. And then the touchdown goes to Keon Coleman, 1 for 9 yards and a touchdown there. Again, Josh Allen showing the fans there in that fancy new stadium that, yeah, they got themselves a good one. 6 of 8, 111 touchdown. They're up 10-0 now on the Carolina Panthers. The Browns did get a field goal, so they're up 3-0 there on the Bears, and still 3-0 over there, Vikings and the Giants. We did get Jackson Dart starting for the Giants after John Harbaugh wouldn't tell us what was going on, but Jackson Dart did get the start there for the New York Football Giants. Let's head on out here to the guest line, and my friend and yours, Wes Reynolds. You see him every single day over on VSiN.com. You hear him with me and Kelly Bidlin over there on Long Shots. Wes, how you doing, buddy?
Matt, I'm well. How are you, sir?
Doing good. Looking here at this golf leaderboard, and I said to you, I was like, oh, man, you're all over this only to lose to Scotty. But I remembered that you played the without Scotty market like a sharp, and so now you are live, actually, with all of these dudes, as Scotty still holds a three-stroke lead, hasn't even teed off yet. But you've got all – I mean, you got Victor, and you got some of these – you got Siwoo, who's making the charge up the board right now. You got all kinds of guys that are trying to get it done for you.
Yeah. Sharp as a butter knife, maybe. We'll see how that works out. But Victor certainly in good position, went bogey free yesterday. Tommy Fleetwood still kind of lurking. But we talked about it on Long Shots this week that, boy, doesn't this seem like a tournament where Scotty's probably going to win.
Yes.
You know, you hate the handicap, the do factor, right? Mm-hmm. Because I think we kind of overdo that as bettors. But it just seemed like, okay, Scotty's going to win one of these playoff events. Like, he's had the year where he's only won the one event at the American Express. So he's gone since January, since winning a golf tournament anywhere. But he's not been too far behind. I mean, how many top fives does he have? How many top tens does he have? And how high does he rank? What, number one strokes gained total, tops in tee to green? I think he's dropped off a little bit on approach, but he's still 11th on the PGA Tour. So still doing great, and obviously shot that fabulous 9-under-61 yesterday. So he's such a good front runner. I don't think that this is over because I think Victor's very live. Mm-hmm. I think Ludwig is very live. I think Fleetwood's very live. But there's a reason why Scotty's won as much as he has, because he does not give up leads very often.
Yeah, it's just one of those where, you know, we were breaking down what we thought about this course, and then we were just like, hey, keep it out of the water and throw darts. And who does that better than anybody? You know, Scotty Scheffler. You know, I mean, his driving accuracy has been awesome this year. And you want to talk about confidence too, Wes, and this is just like going down the nerd rabbit hole here or whatever. So Scotty was so in love with his driver, and like he was playing the 2-year-old model of the TaylorMade. He was playing the QI10. They had come out with the QI35. They'd come out with the QI4D. And he just shows up this tournament, waits until the playoffs, and goes like, yeah, I'll make the switch to the 40. This guy like just shows, switches drivers as we get to the playoffs, and like just goes out there with a new driver. And here he is, three strokes up with where it's just unbelievable watching this guy play golf. So again, not over. Like you said, it seems like the scoring is out there. Tom Kim is lighting it up. Guy is 8-under on the day with a bogey on the card. So yeah, if that tells you anything, and it was on a par 5 that should have definitely been pretty easy for Tom Kim, but he's sitting there at 7-under, going to run out of holes. So he's playing the 18th right now. Siwoo is 5-under on the day, sitting at 7-under. He's through 11 holes playing the 12th right now. Those leaders are going to get out there here momentarily. So Wes, let's just take a shift here to college football. And, you know, we were able to take the ride with you last year, and how fun that was to see you not only kind of get to see your alma mater do what they did, but kind of, you know, come out of nowhere. You probably, if we would have 6 years ago, given you truth serum, you probably would have been like, you know, no, there's never a chance that they're going to win a national championship. And then, like, you know, this transfer portal thing opens up, and then NIL, and next thing you know, you turn around and you have Indiana winning the national title. That being said, it doesn't seem like they are getting quite the respect this year heading into the season as maybe they should. What do you think are the kind of outlook here for this team?
Yeah, I'm getting all kind of feedback from my college classmates. Like, oh, man, the disrespect, and we're number 6 in the country. So that's how it switched here in college football. And maybe there's a little bit of truth to that, because it's like, oh, did they catch lightning in a bottle? Or, oh, the schedule was easy. Well, they did beat 6 teams in the top 10 and did beat a team in their own home stadium to win the national championship. So maybe they aren't getting as much respect, but I think that they're going to be good again, Matt, and the schedule is relatively permissible, even though you get Ohio State at home. You're going to have so much returning production. Much is made of what they lost, obviously, with Fernando Mendoza now out here in Las Vegas and having a great opening act on Thursday night. But the offensive and defensive line is, I think, really the difference for Indiana. They return all 5 starters on the offensive line. They just got 2 players back that they thought were going to be out of eligibility that were injured last year in Kellen Wylett and Stephen Daly. And now you add them to the defensive line and add them to the returners and to the portal guys. I think Dave Rebson on the Big Ten Network yesterday, they were there doing all the camp visits around the conference and said, this might be the best defensive line I've seen in 20 years in being with the Big Ten Network. And that's that's tall praise,
yeah,
considering what Oregon has coming back on their defensive line. So I think Indiana is going to be good again. I would expect them to make the playoff, but them, Ohio State, and Oregon, pretty much the big three, it's looking like yet again.
Talking to our very own Wes Reynolds at Wes Reynolds 1 over there on the Twitter machine. If you look at the Big Ten, Ohio State's plus 180, Oregon plus 240, Indiana plus 260. Then you get way into the double digits, 16 on USC and then 17 on Michigan. You look at this win total for Michigan and you're not buying it.
No, I'm not. And they're kind of in that second group, right? Mm-hmm. With who's going to maybe get that fourth potential CFP playoff spot, USC, Penn State, or Michigan. Michigan's in that second group. I like Kyle Whittingham a lot. I think he's done a great job at Utah for all those years, but maybe it got stale because it seemed like Utah wanted to move on and they promote Morgan Scali to the position. So Kyle Whittingham, such a winning coach, and now he goes to Michigan and he seems to fit the profile, right? You know, tough old school guy, run the football, be more physical, be more disciplined. And that's certainly a program that needs it, not only on and off the field, but I just look at the schedule, Matt, and you got to go against Oklahoma, even though you get them at home, Iowa, Penn State, Indiana, at Oregon, at Ohio State. Man, that's a lot. That's a lot for a first year. And yeah, he certainly has more talent at Michigan than he's going to get every single year at Utah. But I still think that there's a lot to develop with Bryce Underwood there at quarterback. Maybe Jason Beck and Coy Detmer can do that. Jason Beck certainly did miracles with New Mexico's offense and then Utah's offense last year. So maybe he's going to be the whisperer for Underwood. But I just think that that schedule is too tough. They learn a new defensive scheme with a new coordinator here. So like 7-5, 8-4 seems right. So I went under 8.5.
Talk about another under that you have right there in the Big Ten, and that is the Nebraska Cornhuskers.
Yeah, Nebraska, you know, Matt Rhule has been the program builder, right? The quick rebuild. He did it at Temple, and then he did it at Baylor. Maybe didn't work out so much at the Carolina Panthers, but you look 3 years later, they thought Rhule was going to be the guy in Lincoln, and he's 19-19, and I think the natives are kind of getting restless there. New quarterback with Anthony Calandra coming in. Dylan Raiola, of course, the legacy player. He transfers to Oregon. Well, he'll sit a year behind Dante Moore. So they get the kid from UNLV, and I just don't know if he has enough around him with graduating the running back. He's certainly a playmaker, but this is a step up in competition. You know, what happens to the running game with Emmett Johnson, who is a first-team All-American, and now he's gone. That's 1,500 yards and 15 touchdowns. And then they're also switching defensive schemes, Matt. They're going from that 3-3-5 to the 4-2-5. Rob Ulrich, who is from San Diego State, takes the defensive coordinator position, kind of that Rocky Long tree, if you've been observing Mountain West football for as long as we have. And I just thought that the schedule was going to catch up to him. You have to get playoff teams in consecutive weeks. You host Indiana, and then you go to Oregon next week. You get Ohio State in the home finale. They're going to start out well, probably in the non-conference. Maybe they even start out 4-0, but I think reality sits in. I just think that they're a middling team once again.
He is Wes Reynolds at Wes Reynolds 1 over on the Twitter machine, of course, every day over there on VSiN.com as well. Whereas I will, you know, I don't think I have any lurkers here unless Sam Burns turns it on. So I will be rooting for you, my friend. And unfortunately for the people that didn't play the without Scotty, I would be shocked if he is not leading this after today.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to leak too much oil here, but we can always hope.
Hey, there's water balls, you know, I mean, that's the thing that there is that there's always water balls in play. So there is that when it comes down to it. Wes, appreciate the time, buddy. Good luck.
You bet, pal. Thanks for having me.
So the Giants decided to start Jackson Dart today, and apparently just a free runner almost decapitates him. He is now off the field with a trainer and he goes into the medical tent. So we might not see any more Jackson Dart today for the Giants after the decision to put him in there. I just, you know, again, I like guys playing early in the preseason because here's the deal. You still have multiple weeks for them to heal up before the regular season starts. So even if this is something, it could be nothing here in a couple weeks. When we come back, more Major League Baseball.
Welcome back to Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Jackson Dart's day is done over in New York. They put out that he was being evaluated for a concussion while in the tent. So Jackson Dart taking a, like I said, free runner, just a smack. You can, if you're on Twitter, you can't miss it. People posting it. But that said, he did go and throw a touchdown pass before he leaves. So 3 of 4 for 26 and a touchdown for Jackson Dart. His day is done. We already have Jameis Winston in for the Giants. But, you know, again, outside of not seeing the free runner and taking a bunch of abuse, seems like we got a good showing out of him. I'll have to watch the replay there of that one. So 7-3 currently right now, Giants over the Vikings. Kyler Murray has given way to J.J. McCarthy. So Kyler Murray comes in just 2 of 3 for 10 yards, and now J.J. McCarthy in the game there for the Vikings. We mentioned the success that Josh Allen was having in his debut over there in their fancy new stadium. His day is done as well. He finishes 6 of 8, 111, and a touchdown. Kyle Allen in the game now for Buffalo as they lead 10-0 over the Panthers. Bryce Young is playing out there for the Panthers. 2 of 4 for 15 yards. We talked about Jonathan Brooks getting the start there with Chuba Hubbard being on the sideline. 2 carries for -1 yards right now for Jonathan Brooks. And over in the Browns and Bears, Browns 10-0 as Deshaun Watson 8 of 9 for 102 yards. Now, again, no starters there for this Chicago team, so take that with a grain of salt. But we do get the pretty good performance there from Deshaun Watson, at least according to the box score. Casey Concepcion, 2 for 20, so you like to see that. Judy was in there, two for him. Boston was in there. He gets a catch as well. So everybody getting in on the action. Fannin was targeted, though he didn't get a catch. It looks like all those guys' days are done, like a lot of those starters, and we'll see what they end up doing here with Deshaun Watson. They did say they wanted to play him a half, so he might be throwing to some backups here, as it looks like those guys have kind of called it a day there for them. Over in Major League Baseball, White Sox getting some hits, but it's only accounted for 1 run. So 1 run on 4 hits for the White Sox against Melton and the Tigers. They have 1 run on 2 hits there in that one. So early on, Kay has been able to kind of dance through a little bit more than, I mean, Melton has been able to dance through a little bit more there with all these hits, but he's stranding the guys. And honestly, the strand rate is something that we do look at when we handicap these games. How are these guys getting lucky, if you will, you know? And so far, so good for Melton on that standpoint. 2 innings, 4 hits, 1 earned, though he does have 3 Ks. So Melton, not a super high K rate guy, but does have 3 Ks here through 2 innings. Speaking of K, Anthony K, 1 1/3, 2 hits, 1 earned. He has 2 strikeouts as well against this one. So we'll keep you updated there on that one. That's the only game that's actually currently in action out there. We do get a field goal that is up and no good for the Bears. So that's a missed field goal for the Bears. Still 10-0 Browns over the Bears there in that one. No starters out there for the Bears. I kind of get it. The whole thought here was like, what more do I need to see from Caleb Williams? I understand that. I mean, like, yes, I think you know what you got in Caleb Williams. Honestly, you just want him on the sideline, figuring out how to not run backwards as much as he did last year, and try to do those circus plays that just never really panned out for him. So I pretty high on this Bears team, played them in the division, mainly given to the price, right? I mean, I just didn't think that this was indicative of where they were comparatively to the rest of the teams. And like, so sometimes even if we don't think the team is the absolute best team in the division, we still make a bet because of the number attached to them. And I think that's where I'm at with the Bears. I know a lot of people are in the whole regression camp for the Bears. I think that that's at least somewhat fair. You certainly don't like to see Luther Burden go down early. That being said, it happens early on. That's why, like, I'm okay with guys playing their starters in week 1 of the preseason. Remember, we only have 3 weeks of preseason now, not 4 weeks of preseason. So I'm okay with them playing them early on, because if some little minor injury happens now, okay, you put them in bubble wrap until the season starts. You have plenty of time for them to get back healthy. I never liked the kind of like the what the old school mentality was. You remember it used to be when there were 4 weeks of preseason, like the starters played in week 3. It was like we're going to get the starters out there in week 3, and then no starters played in week 4. But like, anybody got nicked up in week 3, there's not enough time for them to get fully recovered. leading in the preseason. I mean, the regular season. So I never really got that strategy. It seems like we've gotten away from that. It's kind of play them early because if anything happens, plenty of time for them to get ready for the season. So we'll keep you updated on everything going out there in preseason football. If you care, I do think that there are some opportunities to play these games. I know a lot of people like to have these grand opinions that if you play preseason football, then you have a problem or something like that. But I mean, an edge is an edge is an edge. If you think that there's some sort of edge, I mean, listen, there is probably a lot of people out there who were looking at this and going, Josh Allen and them, I'm just going to play first quarter. Well, guess what? If you'd have played Josh Allen and them in the first quarter, you cashed that ticket already. They won the first quarter 10-0, you know? And like, if you knew that you were going to get a good couple of series out of Josh Allen, which is kind of the way that they said, I mean, listen, these are new season ticket holders that have expensive PSLs and they're doing this in this new stadium. They were going to give him a little bit, right? And so, you know, you get Josh Allen going up against the Carolina Panthers and you can play a first quarter, probably a good bet. And I'm sure a lot of people played that. And I'm sure a lot of people cashed that again, 10-0 in the first quarter. In that one, now we're still sitting 10-0, 10-22 left in the second quarter. So let's head on over to Major League Baseball. Again, I am on the Tigers currently 1-1 against the White Sox. Our next game that is going to happen here is the Cardinals and the Cubs. And this is currently McGreevy against Boyd. It is way out to like minus 190 at some books. The lowest you can find is 181, it looks like, on the Cubs. A flat 9 is the prevailing total out there in this one. So if you take a look at these two teams, obviously heading in different directions. We talked about this at the top of the show. You get this Cubs team, 8-2 over the course of their last 10. You get this Cardinals team that has really kind of struggled. Definitely one of the worst hitting teams over the last 2-3 weeks in all of baseball. And then you get McGreevy coming in really, really on the struggle bus, right? So you look at Boyd, who under the hood here, certainly something to look at. Last five starts, a 214, but it's more of a 388 expected. Last three starts is a 261. It looks more like a 489 expected. So Boyd certainly kind of getting lucky and dancing through the raindrops a little bit there. But McGreevy, it is just what you see is what you get. Last five starts, a 629 backed up by a 605. Last three starts, a 926 backed up by a 7-1. I mean, this is just a whip of 214 over his last three starts. That's how you get to a team at minus 180, 185, 190 when the Cubs are playing at home against a guy like McGreevy, who, by the way, have seen his K rate drop below 20%, his walk rate approaching 10% at this point. And over these last three starts, I know it's a small sample size, so let's just go out to the last five starts. 54.7% hard contact. Yeah, every other guy is nearly, he's getting hard contact off of Mike McGreevy. Just unbelievable with this. And so, again, a total mismatch in this one. I totally understand it. So, again, round ball, round bat, I'm not playing a number like that. If you're a parlay guy, then you know you could add the Cubs and feel pretty confident in it, in my opinion. We get the Yankees and the Blue Jays. This is Cam Schlittler going up against Simeon Woods Richardson. This is another one of those big, big favorites here. Obviously, Schlittler lights out over the entire season. So as big as a minus 200 favorite at BetMGM, you can find them 180 at FanDuel. So there is at least 180 available out there at FanDuel. If you want to play the dog in this, I would not. But if you want to play the dog in this, plus 170, the best number that you're going to find out there in the market. You can find that as far as the national books go over at Caesars. And if you're in a Circa market, you can find 170 at Circa as well. 7.5 is our total there in that one. This is a what you see is what you get here. I mean, Cam Schlittler, the season long matches up with the expected. The last five matches up with the expected. The last three matches up with the expected. Actually, he's been better over the last three than what the surface stats show. And it's still only a 3.31 ERA over his last three, but it's a 2.66 expected. It's all a sub one whip. It's a over 30% K rate. And if you look at the smaller sample size, 40.9% K rate over his last five starts. He's absolutely phenomenal going up against this overmatched Toronto team. That's going to put a guy that's just an innings eater at this point out there. I mean, Woods Richardson is terrible. Everything about his metrics are terrible. High walk rate, low K rate, high whip. I mean, everything you hate in a starting pitcher, you're basically getting today on the Toronto side of things. So, you know, listen, if you want to do the Cubs, Yankees, money line parlay, walk away, I'm okay with doing that. I know we're never supposed to talk about parlays, I know. But, like, you know, again, I like Schlittler a lot and the huge, huge advantage over there for the Cubs as well. So I think that those are perfectly fine plays. And listen, we got to talk about how real people bet sometimes as opposed to how everybody thinks you are supposed to be doing all of this. Real people go out and they make parlays sometimes. So I think that that's how we got to look at this. When we come back, we're going to look here at those exact finish markets. Now, BetMGM, again, nice little grid. You can go in, you can look at where exactly are these teams going to finish in the AFC North and the AFC South when we come back.